Hello and welcome to the Campaign Podcast. I'm Charlotte Rawlings, reporter at Campaign. For today's episode, I'll be chatting through some recent work with Caroline Pei, Chief Creative Officer at Dentsu Creative, Trevor Robinson, Founder and Executive Creative Director at Quiet Storm, and Campaign's Work and Inspiration Editor Imogen Watson is here as well. Welcome all, thanks for joining.
Hi.
Hello.
How are we all doing?
Very well.
Yeah, very good, thank you very much.
Great, okay, cool. So we'll kick things off with the V&A's If You're Into It, It's in the V&A by Adam and Eve DDB. This campaign aimed to spotlight the breadth of objects in the museum's permanent collection by appealing to people's interests such as fishing, bookbinding and golf. It featured stunts where a century-old silver tankard was buried in an Oxfordshire metal detecting location for people to find, and a story about someone's first experience of fishing being placed inside a specialist angling magazine. It was created by Mark Shanley, Edward Usher and Xander Hart. We know what Campaign thought of it, as it was our pick of the week, but what do you guys think of this targeted campaign? Trevor, let's start with you.
I really liked it. I understand it's quite... when I was trying to work out who would have seen this out there, and then you know, obviously finding out that it was designed to be quite specialist and wasn't for the masses, that's the only thing that put me off, because I really wanted everybody to be drawn in by this and feel like it was out there and amongst us. That's what I kind of liked about it, but it was quite, the only down point of it is a little bit obscure in terms of who actually saw it. It's a bit like when people do these PR stunts and you say who saw it, great idea, but who saw it, you know.
We were sort of saying, like, what we liked about it was how, like, you know, intricate some of the executions were, and how they dared to be quite bold and, like, with their, like, niche targets. But that also brews up the problem that you were saying, Trevor, about, you know, who is going to see this, you know, and does it appeal to the masses?
Yeah, I mean, I could really see how it's, you know, the industry is going to like this kind of thing. It's really lovely and looks nice in people's portfolios and talking to people. But I'm a sucker for popularist, you know, did my mum see it? Did my mum enjoy it? You know, and I do think the campaign should have lent itself to being populist as well. If you like a bit of this, then you're going to like this. And to draw people into the V&A in terms of it not feeling all pretentious art stuff in there, it felt like it should have been talking to everyone. That's my feelings about it. I loved it, though.
Loved it, though. Loved it. Caroline, what do you think?
Yeah, I was a bit jealous of it. Like, when I first took it at face value, it seems like one of those lovely ideas that is impossible to sell, you know, so hats off to the team that sold it. As I dug a bit deeper, I did feel like some of it looked a bit too stunty and a bit too specky, and how much of it, I'd love to have seen the specific targeted stuff be realised in the real world. It all looks a bit like mock-ups and hopes and dreams at the moment, but the level of craft in it looks lovely. I'm less keen on the, like the long copy print work didn't feel as crafted to me as some of the intricate objects. But to Trev's point, I just feel like you'd still want a version of it that appeals to the masses, even if you know, shoot all the discovery of those tiny little moments and then put that out into the world. It felt like they'd missed a trick. They got a bit carried away with their targeting and forgotten that actually we'd all probably really enjoyed it, you know, the discovery.
You can feel like they had a lot of fun with it. It is one of those campaigns when you see it and I'm like, oh, I would love to have worked on that.
Yeah,
like the little details.
Yeah, it just kind of seems like they just thought of, like, so many different things.
Very niche.
Yeah, so niche. But what did you think of, like, the craft of the out of home? Because we said in our pick of the week that that was more of a minimalist approach. And maybe if you'd seen that... not knowing all of the other stuff they've done around the campaign, you might not think it was as impressive.
Yeah, I think the craft of the moments, like the carving of the silverware or the embroidery of the back of the jacket, why wouldn't you bring that up to broadcast level? Feels like the broadcast stuff feels more of a quick second thought, whereas actually some of that, as I say, like some of the mock-ups or whatever, some of the images of the individual moments are beautiful.
You almost wish they would be a bit more daring and just put the photos up without any other context.
I agree. Yeah. Totally agree with Imogen on that. I just felt it was, a bit like an afterthought with the posters. It felt didn't feel like it was had the light. Caroline had said about the craft was kind of lost, and you wanted it to be as organic and tactile for the posters. And I guess maybe having some that were builds would have been really cool.
I wonder who found the tankard and whether they were like happy to find it or be feel a little bit like feeling like they've found something and then gone, oh, it was planted.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see. I want to see those discoveries. Yeah. I want to see the discovery
the reactions.
Moment, which then makes the stunt feel real and worth it rather than, you know, the book, the beautiful book on the beautiful bookshelf. I'm like, know, okay, but thing. Where's the moment?
Yeah, and I just did not believe anybody found that. Do you know what I mean? That's I didn't want to put a pin in it, but I agree with you there, Caroline. Because
well, it is a bit like a needle in a haystack, isn't it?
You would just think it was a V&A book
made for television, if you know what I mean. It's kind of like it's like, oh, we're going to put this book on there, and people are going to, you know, the right people would look at it, and you're going to go, really? Did they? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe we can get in touch with Adam and Eve and ask them, did anyone find the tankard?
Give us an update.
I think you'd get a politician's reply to that. I don't really think so. I don't know if it's worthy. I think it's a great idea, and it's like, I can't remember if it was Imogen who said it. Well, it feels like what you'd love to have in your portfolio, and kind of it's one of those that the especially the creator is going to be very proud of.
Cool. Okay, let's move on to BBC's Things We Love by BBC Creative. The broadcaster partnered up with Aardman to create some creature comfort style films where some hamsters, foxes and dogs discuss their favourite BBC content. Let's have a listen.
Me, mainly for me, it's mainly news and sport. That's what I watch on the BBC.
But we do like things like The Trailer.
Yeah, we like The Trailer. Stuff like that. Yeah.
MasterChef.
Yeah.
I want to see you on MasterChef.
I would do great on MasterChef.
You would do terrible on MasterChef.
Okay, so Caroline, what did you think of that?
In my mind, to a certain extent, Aardman could do no wrong. But if you're going to redo Creature Comforts, it better be better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it needs to be funnier and fresher and more surprising because, you know, we'll watch it with that beautiful sentimental British Gas or whatever it was, like, laugh.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that if you are bringing it back, then, I mean, apart from the hamster falling over and the water bubble going up, which is a lovely...
That was funny.
Nice touch.
A lovely moment. They're not as funny as the original, which makes me feel a bit sad.
Trevor, what do you think?
Caroline just said exactly the same thing. My notes on it. I still love watching these. I can watch them all day. Do you know what I mean? I find that the craft of having real Gogglebot-style words being said and then animated and the time it takes where you can just go, right, let's really get the scene right and let's get all that. I think Aardman is genius at this kind of stuff and I find them incredibly watchable. You can't help but going, but it's been done and been done brilliantly and award-winning the years ago. And I can't help but think, if that was me as a creative, I'd be slightly shuffling with my collars turned up because I'd just like, hang on, people know in the industry it's been done and done brilliantly. To the outside world, people who just, youngsters, like my daughter was watching it yesterday with me and she just loved them because she had no idea about the original, even the Aardman stuff. I knew she wouldn't be aware of the British Gas, but not really. Just like, and I think Gomit is slightly different because it's scripted words. There is something genius about when it's the off the cusp. And I remember seeing a thing called This Is New York, and they had all different people in New York talking and just homeless people, all these different people. And they animated it with objects from the streets of New York. And it was just wicked. And just really, it's visually captivating. And also what people say and how they interact, how they laugh.
If you're going to touch it, you have to make it good because people click on it with such excitement. I saw it on BBC and I was like, oh, Creature Comforts. And then I felt deflated because it wasn't what I thought of Creature Comforts. And then you say about your daughter, being like, oh, what is this? Which begs the question, what's the point of doing it in the first place if it's going to be not even recognised in that sense? So,
but I think they will have a certain enjoyment to it because the bar isn't lifted to them.
Yeah, but it begs the question, what's the point of even doing that much effort for creature comfort? Because there's no sort of knowledge there.
I have referenced it for the last 25 years so much to young creatives, and they're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. It makes me want to go back and rewatch it.
I used to have the box set.
Really?
Yeah, I loved it.
Loves the box set.
Yeah, I must admit, I loved it. It's just like, it just also had that envy thing when you said, I remember even when I saw the Aardman, then the people did it for the British Gas, I was just going, why are you doing it? You're just ripping it off. I felt quite, you know, hostile to them taking it on. Now it all seems cool. It seems like the same thing altogether now. Maybe that's what they're wishing for this new stuff.
Okay, so let's take a look at British Airways' Everywhere We Go by Uncommon Creative Studio. This 60-second ad celebrates how travel can impact people's lives by showing a baby's first flight and imagining the journey she will take as she grows up. Miles J directed the TV ad through Smuggler. Before we get into it, let's have a listen. Okay, so Trevor, what did you think of that?
Again, I was sat there, it popped up on the telly. My daughter, I should explain because I've mentioned her twice, but she was, she's 15. And I was just watching, you know, because I saw it during the day and I had to think about it. And then I was watching her to see how she, you know, she's got usual on the phone whilst watching the telly and texting people and taking selfies. Yeah, she is not engaged. And then she stopped and she looked at it. So I said to her, what do you think of that? And she said, I love the way it's shot. Every time it comes on, I like to watch it. And I said, well, who's it for? And she goes, oh, I don't. She didn't know who it was for. And I was like, well, I think that might be on a, for a, it's great in terms of watchability. And she goes, I wouldn't even talk to friends about it. There would be no talkability about it. But I kind of enjoyed, I enjoy watching it. And I must say, I love the way it's filmed, but it just floated. And I think the problem with this, it wasn't enough of a, like, why should I go on BA? You know, there was no, it's made me want to go on holiday. And it made me just kind of go, but I would kind of, if I'm honest, I'd look at EasyJet or something. I'd go to, good ad, but I'm going to go and get there cheaper, quicker. And, you know, like people, when it feels like it's, again, done for ad people, that kind of like, oh, I want to go on an empty beach with my book of poetry. Not for real people who just wants to go and rush the buffet and you know, and meet people as opposed to, do you know what I mean? There's a, I always think there's a world for ad people and there seems to be a world for real people. And this ad is really beautifully done. And like I said, it's beautiful, but I don't feel it qualifies as an ad because it doesn't tell me anything new and it doesn't make me particularly want to go, oh yeah, I saw that ad for BA and I'm going to go for BA even though there's twice as much. I'm thinking because I saw the ad. It looks so beautiful. Do you know what I mean? Just fell by the wayside for me on that.
And Caroline, what did you think?
I have lots of different opinions about it. Like, I think it is beautifully shot, but as soon as I realised it's like yet another through the years ad, I was like, oh, you've lost me then, because we've all made at least one of them. I think I've made two of them. But even though, and then they've done through the years, but from the beginning, from the baby, dreaming her future life, and I was like, I'm exhausted. But the biggest thing for me is I'm used to being really pissed off with Uncommon because I'm so jealous of their work and they're just doing all this fresh stuff and it's so bold and brave and annoying. And this one, I was like, oh, that feels like, that doesn't feel like up to the standard I expect from Uncommon. It felt beautiful and gentle and kind and sweet. And for me, I'd expect to feel more jealous from something from Uncommon, if that makes sense. And, you know, even comparing it, not even the agency, but comparing it with the 500 or so out of home campaign, which just makes me sick to the back teeth because I love it so much and I hate them for doing such great work. And then you compare that with this film and it's like, oh, that's a shame because this doesn't feel as fresh and as brave as I'd expect.
I know ads aren't supposed to reflect reality necessarily, but the fact that it just jarred with me, how, why is a baby dreaming about the future life?
I did think it was shot beautifully. So that's something we're all agreeing on. But I think I also agree with the point that maybe it's just because it's been done before. Like we've seen, you know, someone growing up throughout the years and like the memories that they're making. And like, it's a lovely idea. And I think it will cause a lot of parents to like, you know, watch it and be like, oh, you know, and think about their child and their first holiday and stuff like that.
No, I'm just like, why did my son never sleep on the plane like that ever till we landed?
That was another thing I thought. I thought it was brave to do an airline ad with a baby as the focus.
Yeah.
Because we all have that moment when you're on the plane and a baby sitting near you, like, for God's
totally
sake.
Totally agree. As soon as I saw the baby, I thought, this is very brave because normally they're screaming.
Yeah.
And trapped and, you know, people giving them bad look. I love the look when a woman just smiles at the baby over the shoulder. I thought, yeah, that doesn't happen.
Very idealised in that sense, the ideal holiday, the ideal sleep. It's almost like it would have given it a bit of edge to have the baby scream for a bit.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. I thought it was, you know, why not try and make it... I mean, again, it's a film for ad people, do you know what I mean? It's like... the abstract nature of it, felt, you know, with them dreaming of the future, I thought that's really nice, but it's kind of, it's for us film people who aren't going to challenge it and go, I'm not sure if a baby's going to be dreaming about the future, mate. She hasn't got any brain cells yet.
That's what I mean.
but it's in a weird way, we all forgive that. Do you know what I mean? And like, and people half watching it, we just look at it and go, oh, that's beautiful. But an annoying thing for me, I just don't like ads when anybody could have done it. Like for any brand and just slam a logo on the end. And I just kind of felt, that felt lazy to me, even though it is really beautiful.
They mentioned at the out of home, I couldn't find it anywhere, but I obviously Alan Common, their out of home muscle is like incredible. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they execute it.
That's live.
There, but I couldn't find it.
Is it live?
It's live. It went live Monday. We haven't reported on it yet because we're waiting for pictures, but the out of home, the one I saw, was a picture of the plane with the baby looking out of the plane. So
that got a giggle at the cinema last night, and they showed the ad, and then at the end they've obviously got that shot of the baby looking out the window laughing, and that got a giggle from the audience.
Not sure probably, that's the reaction they wanted.
Yeah. Probably because
what a positive giggle.
Because it looked a bit silly that the baby was just sitting upright looking out the window. It looks so engaged in what was outside.
They should have had it with headphones on in the plane.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, cool. So next up, we have another piece of work by Adam and Eve DDB, and that's the shop's first campaign for Amazon. It's called The Grit and focuses on UEFA women's football and how the online retailer can provide the products to help footballers play, train, recover and celebrate. Director of How to Have Sex, Molly Manning Walker, shot the film. Let's listen. Okay, so Caroline, what did you think of that?
Yeah, I quite liked it. Beautifully directed. What an amazing like commercial debut as well for her.
That's what we like to see.
Yeah, music was a beautiful choice. I love the line, you know, you bring the grit, we bring the stuff. I liked how human that was. I liked how it was, it didn't just feel like trying to do a boys' football ad with girls. Do you know what I mean? It felt nice and true to that community. The only thing that piss me off or stuck out to me is their app shots are always so disgusting. Like everything else is feels very beautifully thought through and real and you feel stuff. And then they do this really fake, empty app screen, which you just don't need. Like, we understand it's Amazon. You've got a great product shot of the girl wearing, like, whatever that's called, the mouth guard. Like, to pause the whole ad and go, and look, it's Amazon. It's an app on your phone. And you press a button and it's like, really? How, what a shame that they can buy such great work, great line, but you know, buy the great director, all of it, and then go, but hang on a minute, because if we don't have this really ugly product shot or app shot, people just will never understand how to buy things on Amazon.
Yeah.
So that's the only bit that like that upset me, as you can tell.
There's a lot of beauty in being restrained.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that we've seen that trends happen more and more recently with, like, you know, more of a minimalist approach. And that's always the, that's how you know the ad's being effective, when you don't need to have the brand plastered all over it.
Well, like, even the brand, like, the boxes feel like unboxing felt quite natural. Yeah, I didn't mind it. But when everything screeches to a halt and it's ugly and fake app, it's like, what a shame they didn't have the confidence in themselves just to let that be a little bit more natural.
Because the boxes themselves are, they're quite, you know, I don't want to use the word iconic, but they're so, you know, knowing.
Yeah.
The branding themselves, it stands out.
Trevor, what do you think?
Yeah, I loved it too. I thought it was brilliantly shot, and I didn't do my homework to realise the director was their first time doing an ad, because I know it's a real leap from TV to doing an ad, and I've done it the other way around once, and it was a nightmare trying to do something that's a different format, a different world, and she smashed it. I think it looks great, and I think the track was really, I love the juxtaposition with the track being quite jaunty with all this kind of real aggression and grit, and I love the fact that, I mean, I knew straight away, I don't know why, this has had to be directed by a woman. But I did agree with what Caroline was saying about, it was almost like they think it's the clients jumping in and go, people, like, they must know this is Amazon and this is how you use Amazon. And it was a bit kind of like, It was a bit, and it feels that, and I've been there myself, it is like make the logo bigger time and make sure people understand and remember the brand. And really, they didn't need to be, you know, stuffed down your face like that. And I just kind of felt that did pull the wind out of the sails a bit for me. And there was a familiar disco can nature to it all. And I didn't really want, it kept bugging me that it didn't feel that fresh because of that, you know, even though it was really well done.
Did you mean EE, it's her problem? Saatchi's work.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Well done. It's just gone too. Gosh.
You would think I write about ads for a living. Because now you've said that, it completely, that whole sort of aggressive, like, pain, all of that sort of came through with the girl with the gum guard and her braces and the blood. And it is very reminiscent of EE.
I mean, that is killer, really. You know, again, both ads I wish I'd done, but that one I definitely wish I'd done. I mean, and it didn't have the juxtaposition thing with the music, but I just think it just felt so fresh and raw, and just like, whoa, you know, it just felt like, wow, I'm really glad they've got this out there, this ad. It felt, you know, felt like it was turning a door, and you know, and like a different experience when it came to advertising. This just feels like this would only have happened because that ad had happened, that this girl had happened.
Did you know that 1 in 6 species in Great Britain are at risk of extinction? My name is James Ajapong Parsons, and I'm the producer of The Eco Chamber, a weekly podcast that investigates the deep-rooted issues facing our country's natural environment and the policy that underpins them. We give you the facts, insights, and exclusives that no other podcast can. The Eco Chamber. Digging deep into stories that matter. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
So now we're going to take a look at Peter. This cartoon will change how you see bacon forever by Grey London. This 2-minute film takes inspiration from video game Cuphead and cartoon series Ren and Stimpy and discourages people from eating pork. It was directed by Jeff Lowe through Biscuit Filmworks. Before we get into it, let's have a listen.
with my favorite friends. They're cotton candy pink with curly tails on the end. Look at those smiles, see the glint in their eye. You can't believe it.
So this one is a bit dark. Did it change how you see bacon forever, Caroline?
Fuck no. On this one, I think the execution is absolutely brilliant. I thoroughly enjoyed all of the details in the execution, but the strategy is tried and tested and doesn't work. So it was, for me, it was a shame that they'd spent all that money and time executing on something that is proven not to really put people off eating meat. So I enjoyed it, but it's kind of flawed from the outset for me.
Mm, I understand that. I think we kind of had a conversation in the office after we'd seen it, and we were kind of like, does that, even though the craft is great.
Love like, the tune as well.
Yeah, like the tune got stuck in our heads. Like it was really good, but I'm still going to eat bacon. I'm sorry. Like I feel slightly more guilty about eating the bacon, but I'll still do it.
Bacon.
The Red River Farm film was so much more original and shocking and interesting and filled with facts, and that like stopped me and it stuck with me. And so as soon as I saw this one, I immediately Googled that other one to watch it again, because for me that just feels much fresher and more interesting. Well, and
that was
worked harder.
House that was all about that was House 337, and that was all about the fashion industry. Yeah. And I feel like that's kind of less talked about, maybe. And it was less, I mean, like, it was more shocking for me when I watched it. Yeah. Trevor, what did you think about it?
Do you know what? As soon as it said, this is going to make me think about bacon in a different way, I went, oh no, please don't show me something that puts me off bacon. Then I watched it and I went, nah, I'm still eating bacon. And it was just like, it felt like very jumbled in terms of what, you know, if you're going to try and give me the cancerous image on a packet of cigarettes and go, don't smoke. I mean, that's there, that's visceral. And that still doesn't stop me from smoking.
Even the pictures don't.
Yeah.
No, so I just kind of felt, you're trying to do all jaunty and ironic and stuff like that. And I've just felt, again, I've seen this all before. You're not, your power of persuasion is not living up to your first line. And, you know, you're going to have to bloody change my point of view on it. And I did have, it, when it was said there, I did go, right, if I watch this and it stops me from eating, but when do I eat bacon? You know, I was actually thinking stuff like that. I was thinking, oh, I'm going to have to stop. And I watched it and I was like, nah, this doesn't have the power of persuasion here. And it is a fun film to watch in terms of what it's like, you know, quite macabre. And it is usually my sense of humour, my sort of way I like to look at, you know, I love the nature of that. But it was, the argument wasn't there at all. I just didn't really feel like, it was just like, look at the cute little piggies, we're ripping them up. And, you know, if that whole thought of we do put pigs in little plastics and it doesn't no longer looks like that over there, that cute pig over there, or that living creature over there. I didn't get any of that emotion with this. And I think it's the nature of it being an animation as well.
Yeah. I mean, it is a difficult brief to try and get people to change their actions for what they've always known. So how would you tackle that? Like, how would you get people to take action, you know?
But that's our job.
Yeah.
You know, like, our job is forever selling stuff to people who don't care about it and people who don't... You've got to entertain me. You've got to make me... You've got to... Let me look at this same thing I've looked at for most of my life in a different way. And that's our job to do. So I couldn't tell you right now, oh, do this, but it'd be the fun part to unlock with my other creators and our planners and kick those things around. How can we honestly do this? How can we change people? And like, sometimes we've been successful at it, sometimes we haven't. You know, I've done things for charities and done things for, you know, how do you stop people from being racist? Do you know what I mean? And that's a big concept to try and get your head around. And I've tried, but I don't think I cracked it because people still are. So, you know, I think it's a great game to be in though, to try. And I kind of thought I would have loved to be given that brief because it's like, you know, it's hard, but it's fun to try and
crack that code.
But I couldn't tell you right now.
you're up against the tough one, right? Because people really love bacon. Like, bacon is a weird thing that people feel very strongly about. So you have to be really realistic about how you come up against something like that. And I don't think cartoons and songs do. We've seen it before. Like when we were briefed on, when we came up with Frank, the Talk to Frank Governmental Drug Service ages ago, they just wanted us to make a TV ad. And we're like, guys, people love drugs. They're really addictive. You can't just expect a 37 TV ad to stop them taking drugs. So actually we had to flip it and make it about find out about drugs, because we were realistic about what was possible through an ad.
Yeah. There's something in, perhaps, the only times I've ever got close to giving up on meat is being through more longer form content. So the octopus teacher, I stopped eating octopus for a year until I accidentally ate it in Greece.
and she never looked back.
And I never looked back. I was like, I've got to give you up. Yeah, but that really took the time to sort of change my mind on it. And the same with, I think it was Jamie Oliver. He did a series way back when it was about rearing pigs, and I stopped eating bacon for a day. But there is something about maybe it takes that longer time to try and convince
people.
Yeah,
I do think that strategy, what you just said about Jamie Oliver and what I've seen, we've tried that as well, in terms of just do without it for a day or two, you know, like, and kind of like that strategy where you're not trying to fearmonger and scare
point fingers
and make people feel guilty. Mm-hmm. Just say, look, just do without it. The human body doesn't need to eat so much meat. And maybe there's another type. But I think there's lots of ways into it. But it's just, I think it is a bit lazy, in as much as when you're saying, right, we're going to make people feel absolutely appalled by what we do as human beings. It's like, sometimes I don't even watch those David Attenborough things anymore, because it just frightens me of people telling me, look at this beautiful wildlife, beautiful life, and we are killing them.
Yeah.
You know,
ignorance is bliss.
Your brain switches off. And I must admit, I had to watch that thing twice, because I stopped really paying attention to what it was. It was just like, and you're making me feel bad. So, and I I love the smell of bacon. Don't make me feel bad about it.
Mm, exactly. So finally, we have some more animals. This is a very animal-heavy podcast. We have Just Eat, The Joy of Every Day by McCann London. The shop enlisted the help of Arch Model Studio, the minds behind Wes Anderson's animated films like Isle of Dogs and Fantastic Mr. Fox. The ads demonstrate how people can use the delivery app for everyday needs through some charming animated creatures like rabbits, beavers and otters. Tim McNaughton of the Bobbsey Twins directed all 9 films. Let's have a listen.
Mwah. I just eat the Joe and the Juice tuna cardo.
Oh, I didn't know you could get those.
There's a lot you don't know, dear.
Well, I know that shirt's not coming back into fashion anytime soon.
Touché.
Okay, Caroline, what did you think of those?
I was just a bit disappointed. Like, I feel like, did somebody say, just eat? It's always like really in your face and like annoying in a really good way. And I used to love the ones with the girl in the room and the logos. And I think they were really cool. And I loved Katy Perry. I find Christina annoying, but it still has that like reach out your TV and shake you by your shoulders-ness of standout and memorability. Whereas these ones were a bit like, yeah, I guess. And I want them to feel as exciting as the other ones, you know? Just because it's for groceries instead of takeaways doesn't mean you have to completely lose your entire personality.
It did feel so different. Like, it's a completely different vibe. A very subtle, very low key, just the complete opposite of all of the other stuff they're doing. Trevor, what do you think?
I just kind of like comparing the animation styles as well. I think of the earlier BBC stuff with the Wes Anderson work. I mean, I love Fantastic Mr. Fox and Isle of Dogs. I thought they were great. I just look at this and just kind of go, it it's weird. I shouldn't really say this, but showing food in animation doesn't look appetizing at all. It didn't make me want to go, I want to go and just eat. And also, the concept just felt a little bit like we've got to do something different. You know, Uber Eats has just done that killer ad with De Niro and all those. That just came out of nowhere. And I was just like, envy button when I saw that. I just thought, oh, you man. It went in my favorite actor and just smashed it with the these guys who love to eat, love to drive. You know, I just like, it was brilliant. And this, I just felt like, okay, we'll nick a style from a cinema style that people stolen lots of times as well. And then whack on Just Eat onto it. So I just, sorry guys, I wasn't thrilled by this. And I know how much time and effort must have went into this to do it, as in terms of animation. All the people you got convinced it's the right thing to do. And I just felt it lacked any impact and standout ability on TV as well. I was just, it didn't make me want to, you know, some of those takeaway stuff, even the Domino's stuff, even though they're irritating, some of them, but it's kind of like you see the pizza, you go, I want that. I have, you know, I want a pizza now. And even, and it doesn't, that's a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Talking about food. Yeah. Like you, by the end of it, you should be salivating.
So you wouldn't have touched the puppets at all by that. It's interesting because you think they're... I saw them straight away. I was in love because I love those two films, and it's something that really is important to some people.
Yeah.
But do you think that just doesn't work in the sort of category of delivery and food?
Well, what I mean is when I saw the food bits in it, I thought it's... Because the nature of animation and the style of animation, they're not appetizing at all. Do you know what I mean? It's like some plasticine vibe going on there, and it does make me want to. So outside of the idea, I still didn't, even if the food bit was made me kind of go, oh, I fancy that. But that didn't even work. So it was not that I'm saying you can't do it with animation.
But with that specific type of animation, I mean, as in you say it's been done before. Is there no originality to that?
Well, not for me, and it wasn't the originality of using something that those films been out about 6 years ago. I can't even remember how long ago. When Fantastic Mr. Fox, my kids were young when I was watching that again and again and again, but and I just think like, wow, you're not even nicking something that's now. Do you know what I mean? If somebody just nicked something from Poor Things for Just Eat, I would have went, whoa, nice. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've just jumped on a bandwagon that's fresh.
That would have been cool as well. A big part of Poor Things is all the food she's eating and just loving life because of it.
And her experiencing it the first time and all that kind of
Pastel
stuff.
Pastel Donatos.
You know, the conversations that she doesn't understand conversations. I think you could have ripped that off nicely.
Yeah. Oh, I think we've just come up with a really good concept.
But we're running out of time, so go quick.
we should start an advertising agency now.
Yes.
Between the four of us. Hands up, who's doing strategy?
Yeah. Charlotte's great at it.
Am I?
Yeah.
Oh, all right, I'll take it.
Imogen, you're the account handler then.
Oh, of course. I'll make the teas.
That's all we have time for. A big thank you to Trevor Robinson, Caroline Pei, and Imogen Watson for joining me today. If you'd like to learn more about what we've been discussing today, please visit our website, campaignlive.co.uk. Details of our subscriptions are available at campaignlive.co.uk/membership. If you enjoyed this episode of the Campaign Podcast, please follow us, like us, and leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts. A big thank you to Haymarket studio manager Nav Pal and producer Till Owen, and also to you for listening. I hope you'll join us next time. On behalf of the Campaign team, goodbye.